Hi, and welcome back to another edition of Radio or Not. I'm Nicole Sandler, and I've been waiting a while to get this episode of Radio or Not up on the podcast. And I've been waiting because I wanted the artist's blessing for me to post it, and I just got it. So let me start by saying that for as long as I can remember, I've loved the music of Jackson Browne. I think the first album of his that I bought was back in 1974. I was all of 13 years old, and it was Late for the Sky, and it still remains one of my all-time favorites. So I was about 13 years old, and my love affair with Jackson Browne began. And I've seen him in concert probably more than any other artist, with Bruce Springsteen running a close second. But I was lucky enough to be at a Jackson Browne concert at Madison Square Garden in New York. It must have been around 1984 when Bruce Springsteen joined him on stage. So I've seen them together. And it was actually Bruce Springsteen who inducted Jackson Browne into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame last year. Now, after 30 years of making music, ranging from some of the most emotionally moving music out there to some of the most politically provocative music ever made, I'd say Jackson Browne definitely deserved that honor. It was my love of music that propelled me into radio, and Jackson Browne was among a handful of artists that I'd always dreamed of interviewing. Well, I did get to meet him a number of times before he joined me on the air one morning. I got to host a national broadcast of the Columbia Records Radio Hour with Jackson performing live in front of a very lucky audience. And at that time, he told me that he was a fan of the radio station I worked at, and he listened often. And as you can imagine, that completely made my day. Well, finally, on September 13th, 1996, Jackson Browne joined me in the KSCA Music Hall. Perhaps his performance that morning inspired his recent solo acoustic tour, which spawned his wonderful new album, Jackson Browne Solo Acoustic Volume 1. Though since this interview happened 9 years ago, I'd say that's unlikely. So again, I checked with Jackson recently to ask his permission to use this interview and his performance on Radio or Not, and was thrilled when he said yes. So in just a moment, we'll go back to September of 1996 for Jackson Browne in the KSCA Music Hall. Now, in order to make this podcast possible, I have to have a sponsor, and my sponsor is my company, Legacy Group Unlimited. So I invite you to visit legacygroupunlimited.com and take advantage of all the different services I have to offer. All right, and I'll tell you more about that after the interview is over. Here we go. And we are live in the FM 101.9 Music Hall. Nicole Sandler here, coming back in for a very special edition of the Daily Special. You know, when we put FM 101.9 on the air just over 2 years ago, we came up with a concept of the Music Hall. And we put together kind of a wish list of people that we'd love to have come in here and chat with us and talk and play. And boy, today I'm honored to welcome one of the names from the top of the list, Jackson Browne.
Hi, Nicole.
Hi. Thank you for coming in today.
Oh, thanks for inviting me.
Boy, the invitation.
This is my station.
Well, it is your station.
You know, they always try to get you to, you know, like do IDs for radio stations saying, you know, when I, you know, this is the station I listen to. But I mean, this is the station I listen to.
Well, thanks. You know what? And you said that for me. We did, we met, I guess it was in February when you recorded in a rehearsal studio in North Hollywood, right, in front of a couple hundred of our listeners for Columbia Records Radio Hour.
Right.
And I said, would you record some IDs for us? And that's pretty much what you said. So,
well, it's true.
We thank you for that. When you think Southern California music, I mean, you think Jackson Browne, you think the Eagles, you think Crosby, Stills, and Nash, but Jackson Browne is always up there. And so that's why it was just so fitting that you be number one part of the station
and one of the reasons
we've wanted you in here. But I just realized you're playing the Greek for two shows, Saturday and Sunday nights. You've never done that before.
I've never played the Greek. I've been to the Greek for a lot of shows, but I've never played there.
Is there
I've
a
played
reason?
About everywhere else.
Is there a reason you haven't performed there?
I had a long-standing friendship and relationship with a guy that ran the amphitheater.
Uh-huh. Oh, Universal.
Universal.
Where we've all seen you many times.
And he's moved to some other places and stuff. And I also have a long friendship with the guy that runs the Greek. And I just thought I'd try. I'd like to play there. It's a good place to play.
Yeah.
I just thought I'd try it. I'd like to play there.
Well, I'm sure when you started playing Universal, there was no roof on it.
Right.
So
true.
Now you'll be
before. Long ago. Yeah.
Well, Jackson Browne is with us in the Music Hall. Why don't we get you to start off with a song?
Okay.
You've got You're here surrounded by guitars and a clavinova.
I brought a bunch of stuff that we were able to stick in the bottom of the bus. I'm not even home. I mean, you know, this is my home, but yesterday was a day off, and instead of being a day off, it was somewhere else. It was a day off at home, which is really, usually I know better than to try to go home, you know.
During a tour?
On a day off, yeah. Like last time we played L.A., we just stayed in the hotel.
Wow.
Don't go home. Don't answer the phone. You know, don't pick up your messages because it's a trap.
Right, you're not really there.
So, but I wasn't able to do it this time, and I was home yesterday. But I actually said, as soon as I'm through here, we're going to go down to San Diego and play. And then, but all this is what would fit in the bay of the bus. These guitars and this piano.
Well, it's here, and we hope to get you to play every instrument that you brought with you today.
Okay, well, this is a song that we've been playing with the band, but I've found this great guitar in Texas. We call this guitar Cody Lee because that's what's written on the case.
I saw that. I was wondering whose that was.
It was Cody Lee Shannon's, evidently. So so we call it Cody Lee. And I found this really cool arrangement for this song that I have not really ever been able to do acoustic before. So was a ruby that she wore on a chain around her neck, in the shape of a heart, in the shape of a heart. It was a time I won't forget, for the sorrow and regret, in the shape of a heart, in the shape of a heart. I guess I never knew she was talking about. I guess I never knew she was living without. People speak of love, don't know what they're thinking of. Went around for the one if it's just like a glove. Speak in terms of belief and belonging, and try to fit some name to their longing. People speak of love, there was a hole left in the wall from some ancient fight, about the size of a fist, something thrown that had missed. There were other holes as well in that house where our nights fell. Far too many to repair in the time that we were there. People speak of love, don't know what they're thinking of. Reach out to each other through the push and shove. Speak in terms of a life and the learning, and try to find the word for the burning. Keep it up, you try so hard to keep a life from coming apart. Never know what breaches and faults are concealed in the shape of a heart, in the shape of a heart. In the shape of a heart. Was the ruby that she wore on the stand beside the bed in the hour before dawn, when I knew she was gone, and I held it in my hand for a little while and dropped it into the wall. I let it go and heard it fall. I guess I never knew what she was talking about. I guess I never knew she was living without. People speak of love, don't know what they're thinking of. Reach out to each other through the push and shove. Speak in terms of a life and the living, and try to find the word for forgiving. Keep it up, you try so hard to keep a life from coming apart. And never know the shallows and the unseen reefs that are there from the start. In the shape of a heart. 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 In the shape of a heart.
What did you mean? Does Cody know what he gave up there? Jackson Brown is with us in the FM 101.9 Music Hall. Wow. Now, it's taken you long enough to get back here to do a show.
Yeah, I know. We talked about doing this a long time ago.
No, I'm not talking about here on the Music Hall. I'm talking about Los Angeles.
Right.
Now, you've been on the road. I think it was February that Looking East came out. Yeah. And then you took off. You started the tour in Fresno. And it seems like
Santa Barbara, actually.
Oh, was it Santa Barbara?
Drove out of town
and
started a plane.
The long way around back to L.A.
Yeah.
So it's Saturday and Sunday night. Then you move on to Anchorage, Alaska. Then Seattle and Portland, and that's the end of the Looking East tour officially.
Yeah. Yeah, and then we're going to do some shows. I'm going to do some shows with Bonnie Raitt and John Trudell. And those are benefits. Those are things that I've been waiting to do, but needed to do and cut down scale because of, you know, to make some money, you know. You can't really always show up with a whole band.
Right, but you, out of just about any artist, and I can put Bonnie in that category as well, you and Bonnie, together and separately, probably do more for others in terms of doing benefit shows to raise money for causes that you believe in and things like that.
Yeah, we're part of that group they call the Usual Suspects, which generally, do a certain amount of benefits. But I don't think I think a lot of people do that.
Well,
I think for some reason maybe we've been doing it so long that people have that many memories of us doing benefits. But for me, it's a chance to get to play with other players that I ordinarily wouldn't be on a show with, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Even with Bonnie, where years ago we toured together and we've been friends for a really long time. So it wouldn't be an incompatible show at all. It's just that she's, you know, this huge star and, you know, like, if I want to play with her, I get to, you know. It's not a money promotion. It's one where you're putting people together for an idea.
Mm-hmm.
And I expect it'll be that way with Sean too pretty soon. I really had to get her on this tour. If I wanted to get to tour with her and be out for a couple months with her, I was gonna have to do it quick because I think next year it'll be too late.
You're speaking of Sean Colvin, of course, who's opening. Has she been on the whole tour with you?
Yeah, since Maine. But I mean, not the whole year, just basically since, where would we start? We start in June or July or something.
Mm. Just so you know, she's been in the Music Hall like three or four times, so
yeah.
She's got a couple up on.
Well,
you.
She is like, she and Bonnie, both, they're about my favorites, but I mean, both of them are so awesome acoustically by themselves that they're sort of like, my ulterior motive is to actually just really listen and try to get any of that to rub off on me.
You've obviously heard her live version of Polaroids. Does she have worked any Jackson Brown songs into the medley? Maybe she'll do that in these shows here.
Somebody gave me, a good friend of mine who I guess went to school with her, gave me a tape of her in 1976 that I listened to yesterday on the bus. It was great. She was doing all that stuff then, you know.
She is good. So if you are going to the Greek shows and you're going to see Jackson, get there early enough to see Sean Colvin because she is incredible. I want to get back to the benefit thing, though.
Yeah, don't miss Sean.
Yeah, don't miss Sean. The benefits for a second. You may, you know, say that other people do it, but I think you are more
of a giver than you know, because I don't think as many other artists do as much as you do. And what I'm curious about is, the more you do it, the more you have to get hit up to do it. I'm wondering, how do you pick and choose what you're going to do? How can you know, I'm sure you have people who can say no, because
I guess I've got a circle of friends and people who we all talk who are involved in doing them too, you know, even though there's a guy named Tom Campbell who produces a lot of those shows, and he produced the Muse concerts.
The No Nukes concerts.
No Nukes concerts. Right. And I met him 10 years before that, and he's the one that sort of got me into working environmental issues and stuff. But he's just a good concert promoter, and we all talk about the things that need to be done when people have ideas. So, I mean, we all talk about, you know, them. So I'm doing some shows. Like, we're going to do the show in Arizona.
Which you do every year. Is this like your seventh year?
This is the seventh year, yeah. And I usually try to get somebody to headline it, you know, that isn't there every year. And
it's in Sedona.
Bonnie's doing
right?
it this year. It's in Sedona, and it's for a kind of progressive school. It's a high school, and it's a private school. So it was a little odd to talk people into playing for what is ostensibly a sort of privileged school. I mean, it's a private school. People do benefits for a private school if their kid goes there, but my kid doesn't go there. What it is that it's an Indian country. It's right in the middle of this beautiful part of Arizona that is surrounded by Indian tribes and reservations, but not too many Indian kids can afford to go there. Mm-hmm. The other thing is that there's not a very high success rate for Indian kids who may be great students in the reservation, but when they go to college, you can't really assimilate. They can't really quite get into life in a city or in a dorm or in a big. So we try to get them into the school for 2 or 3 years before they're going to go to college, so that they might succeed a little more readily and get them a mentoring program and stuff. So that's what I just started doing it. Plus, it's a great. The other thing is, it's a great place to go and spend a couple of days. So to go there every year, and it's easy to talk people into going there because it's a beautiful place to be and to make music.
So those shows are coming up.
If eventually there are 20 kids going to that school, it's a boarding school, you know. So if eventually they're there, so that school was formed on the idea of promoting world peace and understanding between, you know, in culturally diverse people. So it's. With that in mind, they actually go spend time on the reservation, so they're really sort of already attuned to that idea. I didn't have to sell them on anything. It just sort of is my way of fitting what I do with what they do.
And those shows are October 5th and 6th, kind of kicking off your acoustic benefits portion of the tour. And I'll leave the information in the studio if anybody wants information on that. Jackson Brown is with us in the Music Hall at FM 101.9. You've picked up another guitar. Which one is this?
This is called the Roy Smack.
The Roy Smack?
It's a Roy Smack Gibson guitar made in the 30s.
And wow.
I have to tune it a little bit, but
that is one thing about your shows. You have a plethora of guitars and instruments on stage behind you, and it seems like each song you've got
to. They all do something different.
Do they? Are they tuned differently, or are they just
a lot of times,
different and different sounds also?
Yeah. It's just, they have different voices. It's like they're like people. And I mean, that's kind of what happens when they also write. They kind of have different songs in them, if you know what I mean. Like when you pick up a guitar, you play this guitar a lot differently than the guitar I was just playing. The guitar I was just playing, that Cody Lee is just the weirdest guitar I've ever played, because it's not right. Nothing's right about it. And it just is different. It's almost, it's real rubbery and funny. It just kind of like plays differently. So I basically keep it in that one tuning. I don't try to play another tuning. So this is a song that was on my first album. In fact, I know you've played this before on the radio. A friend of mine called me up and said, "Do you have a new record out?" I'm like, "What are you talking about?" He said, "What is that song?" "It's Something Fun." And I said, "That's from my first album, man." Well, the Papers lather helplessly in a pile outside the door. I tried and tried, but I just can't remember what they're for. The world outside is tugging like a beggar at my sleeve. Oh, that's much too old a story to believe. And you know that it's taken a share of me. Even though you take such good care of me. You say miracle, that makes me smile. I haven't seen Morocco in a long, long while. The dreams are rolling down across the places in my mind. And I've just had a taste of something fun. Future hides and the past just slides. England lies between, floating in a silver mist, so cold and so clean. California shaking like an angry child will, who has asked for love and is unanswered still. And no, I'm looking back carefully, 'cause I know that there's still something there for me. But you said Morocco, and you made me smile. And it hasn't been that easy in a long, long while. And looking back into your eyes, I saw them really shine, giving me a taste of something fine. Something fine. Now if you see Morocco, I know you'll go in style. May not catch Morocco for a little while. But while you're there, I was hoping you might keep it in your mind to save me just a taste of something fine. Something fine.
Jackson Brown, live in the Music Hall at FM 101.9. And yes, that guitar does have a voice. So is that the guitar that sang that song on the album?
No. I found this guitar a few years ago, and it sort of set off a flurry of searching for other guitars like this. I don't know why I thought I had to have another one like this, but after sending away, you know, for these... But they have to be converted, because they start out as Hawaiian guitars. So if you want to know what their voice is, you actually have to take the neck off and reset the angle and do all this work, about $300 or $400 worth of work on it, and then you sit down and play it. And I've done that to about 10 of them, and none of them sound like this one, so I stopped looking.
If you got it right
I just take
time.
No good care of it.
The first album, what do you call this?
It's called Jackson Brown.
It's called Jackson Brown. It's not
but
called
even the
Saturate
record company calls it Saturate before using that, because it's what it says on the back of the CD.
Now it says it on the sleeve thing on the side. But it is called Jackson
That's
Brown.
That's an assumption on their part.
Well, because it says it across the top, and back when they were record albums,
that was a you know what a water bag is, right? It's this canvas bag. In the old days, when I was a kid, if you crossed the desert, like if you drove to Flagstaff or something, you would get one of these, you'd get at a gas station, you'd get one of these radiator bags and you'd soak it in water, fill it full of water, and because it's flax, it would expand and it would hold water. But it would be soaking wet and you'd put it on your radiator and the air that passed through it would help cool your radiator so you didn't overheat. And I had one of these on my wall, and when we were I was talking with the art director, and he said, "What do you think we want to do for your album cover?" And I was saying, "Well, you know, it could be a water bag." And so we got into this thing. And the original one, like the original release, it came out on this really fuzzy oatmeal paper, so it really looked like a bag. And when you pulled the sleeve out, it had this photograph of the inside of the Sparklets bottle, you know, going off in it. So it's a real pretty thing. So, and he had one on his wall too. We both collect stuff like that, you know. So when I saw the cover, I said, "Hey, Gary, you can't put that on the front. That people would think that's the title." He said, "Come on, man. Who would think that's the title of your album?"
And now, almost 25 years later, do you realize that next year is the 25th anniversary of the release of this album?
No, I didn't. Oh, that's cool.
It is cool. So you look 25 years later, like you see this picture, which is kind of a drawing, but knowing that I was going to talk to you, and being the fan that I am, I still wanted to be professional and do my research. So I open this book, and there's this wonderfully very innocent picture of you. When you see a picture like this, it's a very young Jackson Brown.
Yeah.
What do you think? Do you see that? I mean,
I think, what was that photographer thinking of? What was she doing? That was taken by my friend Randy St. Nicholas. And she was... That's not a particularly old picture of me. I mean, that was taken in the, well, it is. It's like
you look. You look young now, so you look very young then.
Well, you know, if you, whatever you do with the lights and stuff, you know, I mean, you have your picture taken by these people who get really big money to make you look like that.
Can I find that photographer?
It's cheaper than surgery, you know, and she could do that for you.
All right. Well, you still, I mean, someone even said it's
actually kinda... I think I was wearing makeup and there were lights in this whole thing. I don't particularly like that photograph, but...
Well, I do. I'm a girl. Not that means anything. Anyway, Jackson Brown's with us in the music hall. Back to that first album and that time of your life, and you were writing and hanging out with the Southern California group that I talked about, and you wrote Take It Easy with Glenn Frey and became a big hit for the Eagles. And a lot of these guys were in bands, but you were Jackson Brown solo. Were you ever tempted to join a band, or did you always know you wanted to go off and do your own thing?
Yeah, I have always wanted to be in the Eagles.
Did you? Well, you were kind of an honorary member. Desperado cover, right? You're one of those costumes.
I mean, I didn't, there was no question about it. I didn't have the skills to be in the Eagles, so... You know, it just wasn't any question. When we were all, they'll sing on my record, but singing with me is a lot easier than me singing with them. You know, that's like, they do that, you know, they know how to do that, so. But some of my favorite memories, really, some of my fondest and most hilarious memories come from standing around a mic with those guys. Because it's hard work, you know, singing in tune is like, you know, it's serious business. So eventually you get pretty punchy, you know, you're doing it at 2 in the morning and people say some really funny things.
Uh-huh.
And the truth is, basically the truth is out there in the open about who can do it and who can't, you know. So eventually they say, "Oh, you know, hey, Jackson, you know, I left something in my car, would you mind going out?" And you come back and it's done.
You know? Oh, we did it without you.
Yeah. Oh, no, I don't know why, it just came together. But, you know, right, on to the next thing.
Yeah, but with all the infighting and stuff, aren't you glad that you weren't in the Eagles?
Oh, you see, yeah, I suppose. Again, that came a lot later, and I've actually never really been a part of that either, you know. I don't really get that. I have no idea what their problems are with each other. I mean, they tell me, but I don't, you know, I can't go there.
Uh-huh.
But also John David Souther, you know, is part of that group, and he's a really good friend, a great writer, and somebody who's, in a way, he's sort of holds all that sort of sense of humor we have about each other. I mean, in a way, he's sort of like a, musically speaking, he's sort of like a big brother, somebody like who sort of, I mean, like, I remember him, the first time I ever sat down and played Sweet Little 16 in an apartment, you know, around a bottle of wine, it was with him.
Wow.
Because he'd been in a band, he's a drummer, you know, and he sang that song. I thought, "Yeah, you mean we can just sit here with guitars and play Chuck Berry?" He said, "Yeah, like this, you know." So, yeah, I didn't really have to be in the band to have all that kind of fun and to hang with him and be really close friends, so... the question of whether or not I'd ever learn how to sing close harmony or keep time, you know, was sort of irrelevant. You know.
Yeah, but you've done it for all these years, so.
I'm getting there.
Now, on all your albums, there are some co-writing credits, J.D. Souther, of course, on some, Glenn Frey, other people you've collaborated with, but they're Jackson Browne songs. For the most part, a lot of them say all songs written by Jackson Browne. On your new album, Looking East, with the exception of two, you wrote with the band.
Yeah.
What happened there?
Well, what that's about is it's me trying to finally give credit where credit is due. Because you ever notice that there are these bands like U2 and the Doors, the Beatles, who sort of dispense with the individual songwriting credits? Mm-hmm. Lennon McCartney said, you know, all songs Lennon McCartney, even though they wrote songs individually. And with the Doors, the same thing. They all made up these songs, and you know who's making up the lyrics. You know, it's Jim Morrison or it's Bono is the lyricist. But those songs are whole pieces of music, and just because somebody writes some part of it and sort of controls the songwriting process doesn't mean that they're really coming up with all that themselves. Mm-hmm. And so it's always been the case where, like on The Pretender, the session musicians playing, Craig Derge and Jeff Porcaro, turned some rhythmical thing around and suddenly I needed to write more words because that was much cooler that way. But the phrase, it just literally changed what I had to do. So I call that collaboration. I mean, they did something that I had to, and that I responded to. It wasn't like they just came in and played it.
Right, and it changed what you brought in.
So I began leaving songs unfinished until I'd get into the studio. And so I can tell you various lines and stuff that people came up with and thought of, you know, but I thought unless you, that presents a problem. How do you pay people for what they really do? I mean, you are paying them as a session player, and so they're getting paid for doing that. Matter of fact, that's the way those sessions work. People are called. You call David Lindley because he comes up with these amazing lines, you know, and plays that way. And that's why some really great artists like David Lindley or Ry Cooder basically stopped doing sessions because they're sitting there, you know, putting all that cool juice all over everybody else's songs and stuff. And, you could say that you wrote that music. So anyway, with my band, they're really creative, and the chemistry amongst them is amazing, so that you, in a sound check, any given day, people pick up their instruments and just start playing something you've never heard before, and it's just great. And you can go around saying, "Well, what's this?" And people just look at you with a blank look. I don't know. It's what we're playing, and you might sit and start playing some lick while you're trying to get your dial in your sound or something. You play something to see if your guitar is sounding right, and suddenly they're playing that with you, and you've made up this cool rock and roll lick, and so. Two things. I wanted to pay them. I wanted to give them credit for what they actually do, and I also wanted them to do it some more.
And give them incentive to do it some more, and say you're going to get the recognition for more than the playing, but the other input you've had.
Well, that's me always. That's still me trying to be in a band, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's why I asked the question. Yeah. Cool. All right. Jackson Browne is with us in the music hall. You've got yet another guitar in hand.
What this is Gibson's attempt to make another guitar like that last one.
Because I see it has the writing up on it.
As you can see, they got a ways to go. No, it's really a great guitar. This is the Gibson Centennial reissue of the Royce Mac. And it sounds nothing like that other guitar.
Still sounds pretty.
It looks like a sort of new version of it, mm-hmm. but... This is a song that, having said that this was made up by about five or six people, I'm going to try to play by myself. But you know, like that, we were playing a sound check and these guys just started doing this. Running down around the town along the shore. You know what, Pat? I'm sorry. I forgot to warn you. I have to sing this real loud to make these notes, so excuse me.
running down around the towns along the shore. When I was 16 and on my own, no, I couldn't tell you what the hammer's breaks were for. I was just trying to hear my song. Jimmy found his own sweet sound and won that free guitar. We'd all get in the van and play. Life became the Paradox, the Bear, the Rouge and War. The stretch of road running to L.A. Pages turning, pages we were years from running. Straight into the night our hearts were flung. Better bring your own redemption when you come to the barricades of heaven where I'm from. Stars above and the lights below. Among those there to test their fortunes and their wills, I lost track of the score long ago. Pages turning, pages we were years from learning. Straight into the night our hearts were flung. Better bring your own redemption when you come to the barricades of heaven where I'm from. Childhood comes for me at night. Voices of my friends. Your face bathing me in light. Hope that never ends. Pages turning, pages torn and pages burning, faded pages open in the sun. Better bring your own redemption when you come to the barricades of heaven where I'm from.
Jackson Brown in the Music Hall at FM 101.9. Barricades of Heaven, a song found on the new album, Looking East. Of course, that is the Music Hall rendition.
Do you have any idea how unique this station is and how cool it is here?
Well, we think it is.
Yeah, but unless you've gone around to all the other stations in the country and seen, I mean, there are a few others that are sort of patterned in the same way, the same kind of sensibilities, but God, you know, some of them are just these sort of, you know, these guys chained to a console, you know, with these instructions printed right in front of their face, mm-hmm. you know, that they can't deviate from. And
well, music is about emotion, isn't it? And it's about feeling and,
yeah.
And yeah, like that.
And they'll have these guys in sales that are, you know, they come up and sort of, they're freaks, but they're wearing ties, you know, and they'll like sort of apologize, say, "Oh, we're from sales, you know, we just wanted to say hi."
We have those too. You know, every radio station has them. They're out there. Jackson Brown.
Those are the guys that my heart goes out to because they're, you know.
They're the ones who make the money. So,
yeah, they're keeping the place going and they're doing it for the right reasons.
Well, you've moved in front of the keyboard, and this is kind of where you started too, isn't it? Like a lot of your early stuff was on piano.
No, I played guitar first.
Oh,
did you? First piano song I ever wrote was Jamaica, say you will, or Rock Me in the Water, maybe Rock Me in the Water. No, I don't know. Somewhere right around there, you know. But yeah, before my first record and. So this is I'm trying to remember if I wrote. I don't know. Probably. You know, I write on both. I write on both instruments. I mean, I'll start a song on one and then move to the other just to see what's in there. You know. This one's got all kinds of changes that I learned by taking piano lessons for about a month once. I put those changes in about every song I wrote between 1974 and 76, and then I, you know, stopped using them.
Bearing their dreams, sail out of sight. I'm gonna find myself a girl who can show me what laughter means, and we'll fill in the missing colors in each other's paint by number dreams. And then we'll put our dark glasses on, and we'll make love until our strength is gone. And when the morning light comes streaming in, we'll get up and do it again. Get it up again. I'm gonna be a happy idiot and struggle for the legal tender, where the odds take aim and lay their claim to the heart and the soul of the spender, and believe in whatever may lie in those things that money can buy. Though true love could have been a contender, are you there? Say a prayer for the pretender who started out so young and strong, only to surrender. Say a prayer for the pretender. Are you there for the pretender? Say a prayer for the pretender.
Jackson Brown in the Music Hall at FM 101.9. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Nicole.
Thank you for coming up here. And that, as a professional, as a fan, I say thank you for 25 years of amazing music and for touring. I go to a lot of concerts. I can honestly say I've seen you more than anybody else. And I'll be there again Saturday night.
Great.
And, boy, the music, just thank you for keeping on putting out great music.
Oh, thanks.
I said earlier that music is a thing of emotion, and I still cry when I hear Late for the Sky. So you touch something in a lot of people, and thank you. And I hope you'll come back and see us again next time.
Oh, I'll come back. I'll come back. Thanks for having this kind of a format on a radio station. It's like, it's kind of, they're trying to do it other places too, but it's really great. It takes somebody to be the innovator to do that. This being able to come in and play like this, and having DJs that play the music they want to listen to means everything to music, you know. Otherwise, it's just this corporate, it's too close to advertising and all that other stuff. So it's great that somebody's not doing the hard work of having a business and fitting into all that corporate structure of stuff, but staying creative. So
on the other hand, it's nice that there's really good music again, because there was a little lull for a little while, but
there's some bad music out there.
There's a lot of great music out there right now. So you're part of it. Thank you for making it. You know. Jackson Brown, we'll see you at the Greek Theater tomorrow and Sunday night. Yeah. You're going down to San Diego now?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're telling me you need to leave.
Gotta go.
So thank you again, and we'll see you Saturday night.
Great. See you there, Nicole.
Jackson Brown on this edition of Radio or Not. That session recorded live in the KSCA Music Hall back in September of 1996. Jackson Brown's got a new solo acoustic album out. It's called Jackson Brown Solo Acoustic Volume 1. Leading us to believe that there will be a volume 2 in the not-too-distant future, we hope. I'm Nicole Sandler. As always, thank you for joining me. And to show your appreciation, well, you can send an email to radioornot@gmail.com or visit us online at radioornot.com. My other website is legacygroupunlimited.com, and if you wonder what a former radio personality does, well, join me there From that site, I have links to Legacy Video Productions, Legacy Photo Bags, Virtual Radio Services, and LegacyPhotoMax.com. In fact, if you're looking to start your own business, I'd love to tell you all about PhotoMax because it's a pretty great company and a great opportunity as well. All right. So again, LegacyGroupUnlimited.com or send me an email at radioornot@gmail.com. Thanks again for listening. It's Nicole Sandler. Until next time, it's Radio or Not.